If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to take them and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20, and I want to begin reading with verse number 17. The Apostle Paul is on the third missionary journey, and he comes to Miletus, and the Bible says he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church in verse number 17. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." I'd like us to look at these verses of Scripture tonight, and I'd like to bring a message on the subject, how to serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? And the service that you render to the Lord is acceptable to Him. How do you really serve the Lord? Father, I pray Your blessing upon these next few moments as we open Thy precious Word. I pray the Holy Spirit would direct us and lead us in all that we do and say, that it might bring honor and glory to Your name. We thank You for the privilege of being here at Community Baptist Church. And I pray, Lord, that as we embark upon the trail of putting Scriptures together to go to Kenya, that Your hand of blessing would be upon that. The Lord Jesus would be exalted. We pray for souls to be saved, Christians to be strengthened, and Thy will to be done in each of our hearts and lives. Help us to have profitable time if You tarry Your coming. And we'll certainly thank You and praise You for what You do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about serving the Lord. You and I have not only been saved by the grace of God, but we've been saved to serve the Lord as well. He never meant for one of us to sit around and soak and sour in a church. He meant for us to be busy serving the Lord and doing the work that He's called us to do. To be a representative of His. To be an ambassador for Him. To be a witness for Him. And every one of us have the responsibility of serving the Lord. And certainly the Apostle Paul has set an example of what it is to serve the Lord. In every one of the epistles that he wrote, he reminded people that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. He was not serving himself. He was not advancing himself. He was calling attention to the Lord and pointing to the Lamb of God that was able to take away the sins of the world. And so the Bible has a lot to say about serving the Lord. I'm mindful of the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, where the Bible says that no man can serve two masters. Can't do it. It's impossible. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think of John chapter 12 and verse number 26, where the Bible says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." Not only are we to serve the Lord, but we're to walk in the steps of our Savior, representing Him in a way that glorifies His precious name. You and I are to serve Him and follow Him. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and 24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." And then Paul adds this, "For ye serve the Lord Christ." As a Christian, as a born-again believer, I've been created for the very purpose of serving the Lord. We well know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but we sometimes forget verse 10. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we kind of just stumble there and stop there. And yet the Bible says we are created in Christ unto good works. We are His workmanship. So the Bible very clearly and emphatically tells us that we are to be servants of the Lord. The Bible reminds us that we're to be fruitful in our good works. Are we really being fruitful in what we do for the cause of Christ? Not only that, but the Bible reminds us that we're to be zealous of that. I kind of called attention to your preacher and how zealous and enthusiastic he is. And I like to be around enthusiastic and exciting people. Do you? I don't like deadheads. I like someone that has some enthusiasm about them. Someone that has some excitement about them. Someone that really believes the message that they are preaching and gets in it and lets it rip, regardless of what people might think or say. And that's the way I kind of look at your preacher. He's enthusiastic. And I believe every one of us have been called to be zealous, to be exciting, to be enthusiastic about serving the Lord, eager to do so. Sometimes we call attention to the fact that we need some teachers for Vacation Bible School. And everybody starts looking out the door wondering how they can escape before the preacher's finger points at them. We need some Sunday school teachers. We need some that will work in the nursery. We need some that will work with the junior church. We need some that will work in the bus ministry. We need people that are willing to serve the Lord. And we believe it's someone else, not us. We're to be zealous of that. Excited that God would even give us the privilege of serving Him in any capacity that He might call us to do that work. So the Bible says, be zealous of that. He says that we're to give our body. Now, He's purchased our body, and He says, I want you to give me your body. Give me everything about you. And He referred to that as being your reasonable service. What God is asking of us is not something that is beyond possibility. He equips us to get the job done. And when the Bible talks about serving, it's talking about obeying. It's talking about submitting. It's talking about yielding and getting in step with the things of the Lord and what He has called us to do. So the Apostle Paul reminds us, he was a servant. He was serving the Lord. He had given himself to fulfill that very calling in his life. He displayed devotion to the truth. Do we? Not only did the Apostle Paul display devotion to the truth, but the Apostle Paul had spiritual character about him. How about us? I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and I can honestly say he was certainly someone that was committed to the purpose and calling and what the Lord had issued for him to do. How about us? No one has been called to sit. We've been called to serve. Not one of us have been called to just occupy a chair in the auditorium. We've been called to serve the Lord and to do something for the cause of Christ. And when I look at the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, I see someone that exemplified some characteristics that we ought to have in serving Jesus Christ. The first thing that I see in this passage of Scripture is that Paul served the Lord faithfully. In verse number 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Do you see those two little words, first day? From the very first moment, from the first day that I've set my foot upon your ground, I faithfully served the Lord. There was no question about what Paul was going to do. From the beginning, from the very first day, he totally devoted himself to serving the Lord and representing the Lord to these people. How about us? Can it be said of us that we faithfully serve the Lord? From day one of our salvation, we were eager, we were enthusiastic, we rolled up our sleeves, and we were willing to do whatever we could do to further the cause of Christ where He planted us. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine design. And God has strategically placed this church here and you as the people of God in this church to be a representative, to be a witness, to serve the Lord in this community, to attract people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you one of two things. We either attract them or we distract them. I don't think you heard that. I think I'll run it by you one more time. As a representative, we either attract or we distract people from coming to Christ. What do they see in us that would make them hungry and thirsty to have what we have in Jesus? Paul was able to say that he faithfully served the Lord from day one. And do you notice that he tells us in this passage of Scripture, he did it in all seasons. Not only from day one was he faithful, but in all seasons and circumstances, he was faithful to the Lord. When I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it becomes very, very evident that he faced some tough times in his life. You take your Bibles and you go to the book of 2 Timothy and you begin to read those pages. He faced opposition. The Bible says, Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm. God, you take care of him. Can you imagine, preacher, if Easter Sunday morning, people come in, the place is packed, the choir has sung their songs, and then the troublemaker walks through the door. And you boldly declare, there's my thorn in the flesh. Wow. I wonder how many people would be here next Sunday after such a revelation. Paul didn't mince any words. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. God's going to take care of him. God hasn't planted us here to be a thorn in the preacher's side. God hasn't put you in this place to be a troublemaker or a gossiper or to be critical. God has placed you here to serve, and serve we must do. And when I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, I come to this conclusion. Irregardless of the Alexanders of his day that was a thorn in his side, he would not quit. He faithfully served the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. Not only did he face opposition, but he faced desertion as well. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. When you look about you tonight, do you remember somebody that might have sat there or sat over here or sat back there or was over here? Something might have been said, rubbed their feathers the wrong way and become a little bit of an agitation to them. And they're no longer here. I guarantee you, sooner or later, people that wear their feelings on their coat strings are going to be offended. You can't preach the whole counsel of God without rubbing somebody the wrong way. As a matter of fact, I like to go to a church where my toes are tramped on, where the seat becomes uncomfortable, and I begin to squirm and have to do something about what I'm convicted about. And I like to go to a church where an invitation is given that I can respond and get things right with the Lord. And all God's people said, amen or oh me, one of the two. But there's a lot of things that happen and people begin to love the ways of this world. I've never seen a day when there was so many attractions and things that caught people's eyes to draw them away from the things of the Lord. And you don't necessarily look upon them as being evil. But if you choose the ball game over Sunday, it becomes evil. If you trade a trip to Walmart for the church services on the Lord's Day, it becomes evil. It's not evil in itself, but we make it evil when we make that choice and allow it to regulate what we do or do not do when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus. He faced desertion, but he would not quit. I think of the Apostle Paul and the trials that he faced and the difficulties that he had to go through, being beaten and forsaken and put in jail and people turning away. I think of all Asia has turned from me. Didn't cause Paul to quit because he had his focus upon the Lord. And so should our focus be there as well. Paul was not a people pleaser. And neither should we be. If we're about to please people, there's going to be trouble in the house. We could take a survey tonight and some would say it's too cold in here. Some would say it's too hot in here. Some would say it's just right in here. So which one are we going to please? The crowd that says it's too cold, the crowd that says it's just right, or the crowd that says, I need a little more heat. You can't please the crowd. And that's why a lot of churches, preacher, have put key locks on their thermostats in the church house. They don't want anybody fiddling with it. People are fickle. We're all part of that crowd. And we just need to make sure that our focus is upon serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord and not self. Paul certainly was not a people pleaser. He stood for the truth, and so should we. We dare not dip the flag when it comes to this book called the Bible. I don't want to trade it in for a new model. Do you? I don't want to forsake the old path and the landmarks of the faith and come up with some new finangled idea that is going to make people comfortable when they come to church. I want the old book. I want the true book. I want the King James book. And I'm going to stand there without apology because that's the Word of God. I don't think we ought to dip the flag when it comes to this matter of God's way of salvation. He didn't say join the church and you'd be okay. He didn't say take Holy Communion and you'd be okay. He didn't say get baptized and you'd be okay. He didn't say do the best that you can and you'll be okay. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved apart from that precious and wonderful atoning name of Jesus Christ. Don't dip the flag when it comes to this matter of salvation. And don't dip the flag when it comes to this matter of separation. This world is wicked. It's wicked. And it has nothing to offer to us. And that's why the Bible says abstain even from the very appearance of evil. If it looks bad, stay away from it. If it has a connection to evil and it's going to send out mixed signals to somebody else, choose the side of right and forsake that and stay true to the Lord Himself. We dare not dip the flag when it comes to the need of the local church. This church is needed. It's needed. It's needed to be a lighthouse in this community to point the way to the Lord and the ways of the Lord, and we need the precious church to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said all that to say this. Just stay at it. Just stay at it. Don't quit. Paul displayed faithfulness. But then as I look at this passage of Scripture, I also see that he served the Lord fittingly. If you'll notice in this passage of Scripture, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He served the Lord properly, fittingly. The Apostle Paul was an example of what it is to serve the Lord correctly. And the Holy Spirit draws attention to several things in the life and character of the Apostle Paul. And the first thing that he points out is humility. He served the Lord in humility. That means lowliness of mind. You serve the Lord in humility, you're serving others, not self. Your concern is others, not self. I told the preacher after the morning service that I'll never again sit on an aisle seat. If you weren't here this morning, you have no idea what I was talking about. And it just seemed like he was looking right at me as he was talking about that. Those that sit in aisle seats are filled with pride and want to call attention to themselves and are not giving any consideration to someone else that might need to get a little bit further in. They just plump down on the aisle seat and refuse to budge and move. Boy, I felt convicted. I thought, I'm never going to sit in an aisle seat again. And I come in tonight, look who's sitting in the aisle seat now. Not me. Humility. Thinking of others rather than self. In heaven, we've been called to do that. We're to serve one another. Not serve self and make it nice for you or for me, but we are to serve one another. Humility. We're not to be show-offs. Not to be arrogant and filled with pride, but to serve the Lord in true humility. Those that possess a spirit of humility know how unworthy they really are. We don't deserve what God has done for us. We don't deserve this great gift of salvation. We don't deserve the multiple promises that He's given to us in His Word. We're not worthy of that. And it's all because of the grace of God that He even would have anything to do with us at all. Lowliness. Paul was a humbled individual. And he served the Lord in humility. But then I noticed he served the Lord in tears. Tears. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. You know, I kind of think we've lost our ability to cry tears today. We've grown up and become fashionable churches and it's a sign of weakness if we, as men, shed a tear. And yet Paul served the Lord with many tears. We could ask the question, why? Why the tears, Paul? And he didn't leave us in the dark about that. He wept for souls. He shed tears for his countrymen, that they would come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. How about us? I'm sure that if I were to ask for raised hands tonight, how many in this section know somebody that's lost? Every one of us could raise our hand. I'd ask this section, the same thing is true. Ask this section and that section. And every one of us could raise our hand and say, I know somebody that's lost and needs to be saved. It might even be an immediate family member that needs the Lord. But my question is this, are we weeping over them, shedding tears on their behalf that they would come to know Christ as their personal Savior? Paul shed tears for the lost. And so should we. Our Lord shed tears. He shed tears. He cried over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you together. But you would not. He wept over that. And we ought to weep for souls, precious souls that Jesus died for. Tears. Why'd you cry, Paul? Well, he not only cried for the lost, but he cried for sinning Christians as well. Look at the church at Corinth. He wept over that. He was emotionally moved over the sin that was present in the church at Corinth. Anytime there's a presence of sin, there's going to be tears. Sin is no friend to the Christian. And sin is no friend to the local church. And sin is no friend to the preacher. Paul rolled up his sleeves and confronted the sin that was at Corinth. It caused them to cry and to weep over the division that it caused. Could I say to you that any time a preacher has to deal with the presence of sin in the church, he weeps tears? That's hard to do. It's not an easy thing to confront people. But you know the very thing that they're playing with and the thing that Satan has dangled in front of them that has got their attention, that has become attractive to them, and they're gravitating toward that. You know the damage and the hurt that it's going to bring, and you confront that. It's not an easy thing to do. But as the shepherd of the sheep, sometimes you have to use the shepherd's staff in order to pull them back where they need to be. It'll bring tears. No one is beyond that. But every one of us ought to be thankful when somebody reminds us that path you're traveling is going to bring heartache to you. And you better turn from it. And a faithful preacher that does that, there's going to be people in that congregation that just don't understand that. Begin to take sides and choose sides and Sometimes it even creates a division because you have to confront the sin of a brother. It's not easy to do. It brought tears to Paul, and it will bring tears to us. Unconfessed sin always brings heartache. 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 What brought tears to Paul? Lost people. What brought tears to the Apostle Paul? Saved people that were dabbling in sin. What brought tears to the Apostle Paul? The danger of false teachers. They abound in our day. It's not safe just to turn on a so-called Christian radio station and let it play all day long. There's going to be some crackpot on there that doesn't tell the truth and stay true to the Word of God. Am I right, preacher? There's going to be some that will mislead us and try to bring us down the wrong path of confusion and teach things that are not in accordance with the Word of God. That's why you ought to always go to church with your Bible. I think I'll just step over here and say amen to that myself. It don't make any difference whether it's Dan Hummel preaching or Brother Alstock preaching or someone else that would stand in that pulpit. You better follow along in your Bible to make sure that what is being said is in accordance to the Word of the living God. I don't care if it's Dr. So-and-so that has all the DDs and the RFVs and everything else behind his name. You follow the book, not the man. Oh, I better get over here and say a little bit more amen on that. And I just remind you that if I have to do the preaching and the amen, and it costs twice as much. So let's do some amen. Paul was concerned about false teachers, and he told the church at Ephesus that. He said, when I depart from you, grievous wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock, not having any concern for the flock. That moved the Apostle Paul to tears. He served the Lord in humility. He served the Lord in tears. And the Bible says that he served the Lord with trials. But they did not stop him. That's the important thing. He faithfully and in all seasons served the Lord. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and temptations. That word temptations means trials. Trials that confronted the Apostle Paul. And boy, if there was anyone that had trials in the New Testament, it was him. He was threatened, he was stoned, he was jailed, he was forsaken, he was beaten. He experienced all of those things. But it did not stop him. He kept on keeping on. So how do you serve the Lord? How does the choir serve the Lord? How's those that play the instrument serve the Lord? How do the Sunday school teachers serve the Lord? How do the deacons of this church serve the Lord? How does the staff serve the Lord? How do the people that make up this body of believers, how do we serve the Lord? Well, the example of Paul, faithfully. The example of the Apostle Paul, fittingly. And the example of the Apostle Paul, fearlessly. The Bible tells us in verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. No one would doubt the fact that the Apostle Paul had zeal. No one had even questioned the Apostle Paul that he had clarity in his messages. No one would ever question the Apostle Paul that he had urgency in what he was trying to drive home to the hearts of God's people. He had it all. And he served the Lord fearlessly to bring that message home to the hearts and minds of God's people. And that message was simple. Repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, Community Baptist Church, if you want to follow the example of a godly individual and you want to implement truths into your life that is going to be pleasing to the Lord, certainly the Apostle Paul exemplified that for us. He served the Lord faithfully. He served the Lord fittingly. He served the Lord fearlessly as he went about and served the Lord his God. How do you serve the Lord? Let's bow our hearts together in prayer.